Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, April 10th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Republican Parks budget specifically prohibits funding for John Wayne Trail improvements. Genesee man in jail for attempted murder of a Moscow woman. Nuclear Regulatory Commission moves forward with radioactive water shipments to Idaho. And Moscow streets conditioned to be assessed. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. First District Judge Scott Wayman in Coeur d'Alene today sentenced convicted murderer David E. Hutto to life in prison for the kidnapping, robbing, and killing of William Beau Kirk of Coeur d'Alene in October. Kirk had disappeared while returning home from an X-ray technician job at Northwest Specialty Hospital, and police identified his body near a Forest Service road a few days later, piecing together testimony from Hutto and his passenger and accomplice Justin Booth. Police determined the kidnapping and murder occurred after a road rage incident in Post Falls. Hutto followed Kirk to his home in Coeur d'Alene, and the two kidnapped him there. They drove Kirk to an area near Hayden Creek in the Coeur d'Alene National Forest, where one of the two led Kirk out of the vehicle and shot him in the back, and then continued to shoot him after he fell. The pair left the body. Hutto and Booth's testimony contradicts on who did the shooting. The two then used Kirk's stolen debit card in Coeur d'Alene to withdraw $900 from Kirk's checking account at the U.S. Bank branch on Government Way. Police caught up with the two using security camera videos at the bank. Another security camera had footage of Booth filling a 5-gallon can with gasoline that was used to set Kirk's 2015 GMC pickup on fire, where they had moved it to North Rimrock Road, not far from where Kirk's body was found. Hutto pled guilty February 1st. According to an account of the sentencing in the Spokesman Review website, Judge Wayman said, "In reviewing all of the information, one thing is abundantly clear, and that is Mr. Hutto poses a significant risk to reoffend, to be a danger to society. While he denies actually pulling the trigger that caused the death of Mr. Kirk, he does admit that he was involved in all of the events that led up to the death." Hutto's defense attorney, Christopher Schwartz, questioned why Booth was not also charged in Kirk's death. Schwartz said, "Mr. Booth could be sitting here right next to Mr. Hutto. The state chose not to do so. Hutto is in federal custody for unlawful possession of a firearm, which is the same gun used to murder Kirk." Magistrate Judge William Hamlet set bail at $100,000 for a 24-year-old Genesee man on a first-degree attempted murder charge and burglary charge after police reported he stabbed his ex-wife 14 times early Friday morning in Moscow. 24-year-old former National Guard member Elicio A. De Leon Tai of Genesee is in the Latah County Jail. An ambulance crew took 23-year-old University of Idaho student Shelby L. De Leon of Moscow to Gritman Medical Center Friday morning. A crew then took De Leon to Sacred Heart Medical Center in Spokane later Friday, where she was listed in serious condition Friday night. The Lewiston Tribune reported from court documents that Moscow police came to the woman's apartment in the 1400 block of West A Street at 1:23 Friday morning when a neighbor called police to report a woman screaming. Police say they looked through the first floor apartment window and saw a naked woman lying on the floor covered with blood. Police say they went into the apartment and found De Leon Tai, who said his ex-wife was in the bedroom and had blood on his arms, legs, and clothing. De Leon Tai reportedly said, "Officers, please kill me, please kill me." He also reportedly told police He had a letter that said he needed to retrieve a flash drive or his sister's life would be in danger, and that he had lost the flash drive during his divorce and went to his ex-wife's apartment to search for it. When his ex-wife woke up and started screaming, De Leon said he needed to injure her so he would have more time to find the flash drive. De Leon Tai reportedly told police he stabbed his wife with a 3.5-inch switchblade with a serrated blade until she stopped fighting back. Court documents said he did not want to harm her critically and that he said he wanted to just incapacitate her. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission last week said an environmental assessment has shown there would be no significant impact from a plan to ship 200,000 gallons of low-level radioactive wastewater from the Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Station in Vernon, Vermont, to a storage facility 40 miles south of Boise near Grand View, Idaho. Currently, the company which would store the waste, U.S. Ecology Idaho, does not have a federal license to store the waste. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission says the water will be solidified into a soil-like substance before transport. U.S. Ecology Idaho said in an email to the Associated Press, "Safety and protecting the environment are U.S. Ecology's top priorities, and we are confident acceptance of this waste poses no threat to the environment or surrounding community." The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality has already approved the plan. DEQ Hazardous Waste Program Manager Brian Monson said they have accepted such shipments in the past, and their permit allows them to take it. U.S. Ecology is a very good facility. It has a good compliance history. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee today moved forward with a plan to contract out a street assessment for all 83 miles of public roadways in the city. Moscow City Engineer Kevin Lilly told City Council member Mark Boland at today's meeting the city has not had a detailed pavement condition assessment since 2013.
We have requested a scope of work and put it into an agreement with MDS Technologies, who did the survey the last time. They use two cameras mounted on a vehicle, scan all of our streets. We've had a few segments added since 2013, so they'll pick those up as well. And then they analyze those in the office. The whole process takes about 3 months. And then we download those files into our pavement view software, and it's just really been an efficient way to keep up on our road conditions. And we also are using it now for sign inventories, and we've been really pleased with that company. So this contract or agreement is in the amount of $23,150 to repeat that process.
And when they're finished with this, since it's a downloadable thing, then you can get a pavement condition number for the city at large. In other words, you could say we're at a 75 or a 78 or
exactly. Whatever. You can pull up a map. You can click on any segment, which are actually fairly short pieces of any street in town, and it will tell you the rating and the deficiency. Why is it rated at 10 or 30 or 80, whatever.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's just a really good tool for making the most of the monies that we spend on maintenance. And as you know, our roads are, we're not holding our own, really, with the funding that we've had, but this is just another tool to make that as efficient as it can be.
That was Moscow City Engineer Kevin Lilly speaking to the City Council's Public Works Finance Committee this afternoon. You also heard from City Council member Jim Boland in that clip. Under the contract, the city would pay MDS Technologies of Park Ridge, Illinois, $23,000 to do the citywide assessment. The city put the issue on the consent agenda for next Monday night's full city council meeting. The Republican-controlled Washington Senate has passed a $500 million 8-year state parks and recreation restoration bill with language specifically excluding the Iron Horse John Wayne Trail from any state-funded restoration. The bill passed 36-12 last week and now heads to the Democratic-controlled House. The Iron Horse John Wayne Trail is one of the longest statewide trails in the nation. It runs 285 miles from North Bend in western Washington to the Idaho state line just north of Teco. While well-developed and maintained west of the Columbia River, the part of the trail on the east side of the Columbia is mostly unimproved rail bed, which is difficult to use for hikers and horse riders and mostly impossible for mountain bike users. District 9 House Republican Representatives Joe Schmick of Colfax and Mary Dye of Pomeroy quietly inserted language into a must-pass budget bill in 2015 requiring the state to transfer ownership of the John Wayne Trail east of the Columbia River to adjacent landowners. But because of a typographical error in drafting the language, the transfer of the land did not take place. Controversy erupted when the language in the bill was discovered, with supporters of the trail decrying the underhanded legislative tactic by Schmick and Dye. Adjacent landowners complain users of the trail east of the Columbia River vandalize things and leave trash. Supporters on the east side want to see the trail developed with the hope of increasing recreation and tourism-related business in small towns along the trail. Chief among those is the Teco Trail and Trestle Association, whose website asks people to sign a petition to the legislature as lawmakers this spring decide the fate of the trail. The association's mission is to make the Teco Trestle accessible and enjoyable to all. We also hope to expand the use of and enhance the John Wayne Trail. Democratic Senator Christine Rolfes of Bainbridge Island called the trail a gem and told the Spokesman Review because of the language in the park's budget bill, quote, an entire generation of Washingtonians will never have access to the trail because this legislature makes it so difficult to use. Republican Senator Judy Warnick of Moses Lake told the paper, while the western part of the trail is well-maintained and heavily used with agreements with adjacent landowners, the eastern part is sometimes used by, quote, not very friendly folks, unquote. Warnick said, it's going to take more money than we have and more agreements with the neighbors. She said legislators will have the option of changing their minds and revisiting the issue in the future. Wet and dynamic spring weather has caused mudslides in the region, closing highways in northern Washington. A mudslide on State Highway 20 closed the road 10 miles west of Okanagan Friday. Also, State Highway 31 between Ione and Medellin Falls in Ponderay County remains closed due to unstable slopes and landslide danger. The road between Spokane and the Canadian border has been closed for weeks. There is a detour available for lighter vehicles. Detours are also available around a closure on U.S. Highway 395 northwest of Colville. That closure is due to flooding. Portions of U.S. Highway 95 in Idaho were closed due to a mudslide south of Bonner's Ferry Friday afternoon. The road has since reopened. However, State Highway 5 remains closed between St. Mary's and Plummer due to a slide last month. A temporary detour is available. Meanwhile, there were 60-mile-per-hour winds in the Portland area Friday, toppling trees and power lines. 100,000 customers were without power in the Willamette Valley. 1,800 customers were without power in the Spokane area Friday, and 40-mile-per-hour winds knocked down some trees in Moscow Friday morning. Washington Governor Jay Inslee has asked the federal government for Federal Emergency Management Agency assistance to help recover from damage from heavy storms earlier this year. Inslee's letter says there was an estimated $27 million in damage from storms statewide between January 30th and February 22nd. The letter requests money to help in 14 counties, including Spokane, Lincoln, Ponderé, and Adams. FEMA money would cover 75% of eligible costs if approved. Typically, decisions are made on sending FEMA emergency money within 2 weeks of a request. Inslee said in his letter, 97 roads have been damaged by the weather. A group of students from the University of Idaho's Sociology Anthropology 301 class is planning to increase community understanding of the risks of masculine norms in American society. In a meeting put together by the class and sponsored by the Moscow City Human Rights Commission this coming Thursday, the class will put together groups on aggrieved entitlement, internal and external anger, the radical right, and feminism, misandry, and misogyny. The meeting will be held at the 1912 Center at 412 East 3rd Street in Moscow, Thursday night at 6 p.m. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, there'll be a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., then isolated showers before midnight, partly cloudy otherwise, low 29 tonight. And tomorrow, increasing clouds, low 54. 30% chance of rain after midnight Tuesday night, cloudy, low 40. And 60% chance of rain Wednesday, mainly in the afternoon, cloudy, high 52. 90% chance of rain Wednesday night, and again on Thursday, low 41, high 51. Precipitation amounts Wednesday night between a quarter and a half inch possible. Currently, we have 47 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. It is partly cloudy in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. At 7:30, our weekly call-in talk show called What's Left is on 7:30 until 9. Music begins at 9 o'clock with Colin's show, which is the Early Morning Enigma. So stay tuned for all of that. I'm Lee Robartis. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast for download and streaming. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Have a good night. KRFP Moscow Pullman, Community Radio for the Palouse, 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and Rembrandt Tree Care, family-owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
KRFP thanks all of its donors and underwriters for helping make this programming possible.